Hey, welcome in, everybody. Good morning. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Good morning, Mark Long of the Associated Press.
Good morning. It's seems like it's been 2 weeks since I've been here.
You know what? It doesn't seem that long to me. It seems like just yesterday. I don't know. I don't know if that's good or bad. Would it be better if it seemed longer? Right? If it seemed like a month, would that mean I miss you more? I'm not sure. I'd log him in to get me by.
I don't know. Oh, of course you did. Of course you did.
You know it's going to go
I
there.
Was on the radio twice yesterday.
I heard you once.
Which, the morning or the afternoon?
I heard you with the boys of XL Primetime.
Okay.
Did you pop in on the Frangie and
I did.
Friends?
I popped in on Frangie. Frangie's got this little sneaky move where he gets Jessica to text me to see if... And, of course, I'm going to come on with Jessica. I mean, how do you say no to Jessica? Has anybody ever?
I've never said no to Jessica.
Has anybody ever in their life ever said no to Jessica?
Not in their right mind.
Exactly.
So
of course I say, and then of course Jessica's not even on the radio. I get Baloo, and I got catfished.
That's awesome.
I think I'm going on with Jessica, and then I get on, and it's Baloo and Frangie.
And it's
total
not even,
catfish.
Not even like even borderline good. Like you're like, no. All right, I could at least be friends with this
total catfish.
Right here.
Total catfish.
What a mess. Oh,
I should
awful.
Be on that MTV show.
You should catfish. Be. You should start your own show if there wasn't already one just like that. So what's your angle right now? We were just joking around.
I just spent a half hour trying to come up with story ideas on the way in. I got nothing today. Nothing. You know what? I don't know. I just don't know. Cecil Shorts, maybe?
In what regard?
Well, listen, he rushed himself back. To most people. Most people believe
that. Yeah,
like,
we were surprised. He's
very surprised that he played.
Full middle of the week last week.
So he plays. He has a good game by numbers standpoint.
16 targets in that game.
That's
a bunch.
And then, but then the unbelievably costly fumble in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. I guess I can't keep going back to the run game. I mean, I just, you know.
What run game?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
What does Cecil need to do the rest of the way? Stay healthy has got to be the number one thing, right? But in terms of earning a second contract with this football team.
Well, I think it now comes down to price, doesn't it? Like, what you've seen now enough. I mean, I guess if he plays the last 10 games completely injury free,
you wouldn't bet on that, would you?
No, but that would obviously change the
big step in the right direction.
Sure, that changes the tone of your conversations, the tenor of where you're going here. But if not, then I think it's got to be some sort of minimum deal, because not only do you have three guys in the mix here, young guys you really really like, you got Ace Sanders too, and you know my storyline, you know who might be in the building next year.
I know your storyline.
I know my story.
And I like your storyline because it gives me some hope. You know, I think I much prefer that storyline to the he's never going to play here again.
I think everyone should have some hope when it comes to him.
Yeah. And
it's good. Hope is a good thing.
It's
we have hope
be.
That There's, this franchise is going to turn things around.
If you can have hope in the midst of what this franchise has done in the last 2.5 years, we were just talking about adding it up. Six and 32.
Yeah. And of the six wins, as we point out, of the six wins, I think five of them have come against completely dysfunctional teams, or at least
during
four,
the season
four
that
of
they
them,
were like
four
yeah,
of them have
Houston,
come against a
Houston going 2-14, they beat them
sure.
twice, and Indy with
Indy
the
went
1-15
the
right.
year before, and they beat them twice. So four completely those two teams were completely dysfunctional, and I think the record, and I think Tony said it too, the number that stands out is those six wins, all. How many coaches, Tony? Four?
All four coaches were fired.
All four coaches were fired at the end of those seasons. So
coach killers.
It's not like they have even beaten a legitimate team at any point.
Is Cleveland a legitimate team? Well, you know, honestly,
last
we
year
don't
when
know.
They fired
no, right
the
now,
coach.
Right
oh,
now,
sure.
where they stand
sure.
right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they can contend for the playoffs this year in the AFC. I mean, you look at the AFC, it's not a group of world beaters.
We'll see how the Alex Mack injury affects them.
That's the big
but
thing, right?
They're able to run the ball against anybody. They've been able to run the ball no matter who's their tailback, whether it's Tate or...
Crowell or Terrence West,
Terrence
for that matter, yeah.
They've been able to run the ball. They've got some guys on the outside who have stepped in for Gordon. And then Hoyer's playing really well defensively. Even though they've given up a lot of yards and a lot of rushing yards, they're really good in the red zone. They're kind of that bend but don't break defense. And so it's given them a chance. They've been in, I think they've been in every single game this year.
The running game has opened up everything for them, because if you looked at them in the preseason, you said, this wide receiver core is among the worst in the National Football League on paper, you know, and Andrew Hawkins was a nice complimentary piece in Cincinnati. He's become the main focus, which should tell you, really, without Josh Gordon in there, they're just an average group. And Jordan Cameron really hadn't done anything until last week throughout the first month plus of the year. So the fact that they're able to put up points like they're able to, you know, it's both sides of the coin. I brought this up several times. They're the team that came back dramatically against Tennessee. They're also the team that got behind 28-3
right.
against Tennessee. So you good with the bad, but you don't dwell on that aspect of it when you can score points in the National Football
sure.
League. And that's what they've been able to do. The hope clearly for this fan base is embodied in Blake Bortles. I made the move in one of my fantasy football dynasty leagues.
Well, you get to keep him. Okay.
I get to keep him.
So if he's elite, you're gold.
Made the move on him yesterday. I got the trade went through.
Oh, it was a trade. What'd you get up?
Gave up a guy needed running back. I gave up Lamar Miller, who's more attractive now with no Sean Moreno sure. out for the year. And a third round rookie pick. I got Blake Bortles and the shoplifter back in the deal, because I'm a DeMarco Murray owner in that league and I needed the handcuff. Literally, with Joseph Randall.
Literally, so. The handcuff.
Yes, I don't mind. Apparently, I do have my priorities. I would not draft Ray Rice this year. I do all the fantasy shows, and I said, you can have him. I'm not going to make a moral judgment on you. I'm not going to feel good about myself spending a whatever round pick on Ray Rice. Apparently, if you shoplift some cologne,
that's below the
bar for
that's
me.
Okay that's okay on your team?
That's okay. As long as I don't need to
that's
count
just,
on you.
That's petty crime. You're all right,
right.
with a little bit of petty
crime. Well, it makes
crime.
You cheaper.
Even if you are a multi-hundred-thousandaire, the fact that you need to steal cologne and underwear.
Now they're going to fine him, Tony, up to like 30 grand. The team is going to fine him up to 30 grand.
Which is way more than what he was lifting.
By the way, the sample bottle.
Immediately, that's his new favorite pair of underwear.
Are those samples, sample bottles? I don't wear cologne, all right? But maybe I should, because maybe I stink. I don't know. But are those sample bottles? I've never really looked at a men's cologne sample bottle. Are they bigger? Is $80 a lot of money to spend on cologne? It seems like a lot of money to spend on it to me, because he stole the sampler that's at the counter.
I think they're charging him full price for the sampler.
Right, I guess. But, I mean, that seems like a lot of money for any cologne. To me, but
I think that's normal.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think you're in the ballpark.
All right, $80,
$50 to $100.
Good thing I don't wear that stuff, man. That's crazy talk. That's where I think clearly the hope is. But when you look at this team, are you getting more hopeful based on the last couple weeks' performances? Certainly, they've been more competitive. The defense, you could point to flaws in the defense, but to me, the ultimate barometer is points, and they have not been giving up a lot in that category over the last couple weeks. So, you know, are you more hopeful that things are starting to turn around, or is this more of a product that maybe the schedule is starting to soften up?
Well, and we talked about it before. When they were 0-4, we talked about the schedule eases up right here, starting with Pittsburgh. And so I think that's you cannot look at that and say that's not a factor here, the schedule easing up. But I think the defensively, they're playing better without. You know, they've made some changes, and those changes have been effective. Defensively, they're better. Offensively, you know, guy threw for 300 yards. They just can't run the ball. And I heard Loggs mention it yesterday. And I do wonder how much of their playbook is predicated on play-action passing. And when you can't throw the ball, when you can't run the ball, how much of that is affecting your entire pass game? I mean, because Cleveland's a perfect example. They can run it all day, and because they can run it, I'll bet it's real easy for Hoyer to do a play-action pass.
You have to respect it.
And absolutely. And you're going to find guys a little more wide open than you would before. You know, and this team is complete opposite. They can't run it at all, but they've still been able to throw it to some degree.
And I understand what he was saying yesterday, because it's a minor thing, but it just was irritating to me watching the last drive of the game, bothering with the fake handoff on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like real. I mean, guys are sprinting past. He's like, well, maybe you're going to freeze that linebacker for half a second. I didn't see a whole lot of
that.
No,
there was no
in the
freezing
last four,
going on.
3 minutes or so of the football game. You know, the example I should have brought up with Jeff yesterday was I made the example of Matt Ryan. I don't know if you heard that. We're talking about just because you have a quarterback who you consider very good, and he said, oh, I don't consider Matt Ryan that good. I mean, I don't know what your standards are pretty damn high.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
Drew Brees. No one doesn't consider that guy good, right?
Yeah.
They're 2-3 this year.
Right.
Why? Because it's not enough just to have the quarterback. And people say, well, if you have the quarterback, he can lift you. He can to a degree. You can't lift everything on that alone. And New Orleans has struggled this year. I mean, this Cleveland team beat New Orleans, for instance. And I don't think Drew Brees all of a sudden has hit the wall in his career. You know, there's a guy who's been throwing for 5,000 yards the last several years. So just because Blake may be that guy who's going to be a transcendent top 10 quarterback for a decade, I hope he is, that alone is not enough to lift. It makes you have a puncher's chance in just about any game, but it does not necessarily make you a year in, year out contender if you don't have the protection up front.
Right.
You know, you got to have the pieces around you.
Look at Tom Brady this year. I mean, you know, I mean, that's part of their struggles are that he was getting hit and getting pressured and getting a lot, you know, and so they struggled in a couple games.
To fix that, because they certainly seem to have remedied that.
Doesn't it seem like they fixed it in 2 weeks?
Yeah, you're right.
You don't have the receivers.
You reached a point, though, where you said, oh. That's I like that ringtone. That's new. that's all right.
That is new. Sorry.
I do it all the time. But you did have a point this season when people were questioning, is the Patriot dynasty dead?
Done.
It was bad off. And I think Brady showed you this past week. I mean, magnificent. He was fantastic. I think he showed you he's just about as good as ever. And when you don't have the protection, and that means you can't run the football and you're one dimensional, and he had a bunch of receivers not stretching the field and not getting them, very similar here to what's going on in Jacksonville. More experienced guys, but nonetheless, still didn't have that guy that could make, you know, the safety over the top, open up things underneath for everybody else. Gronk.
Who
was
is
still
that
working
guy here, by
back.
The way?
I don't know if that guy is here yet.
Don't you think if you take Marquise Lee in the second round, he's got to be that guy?
He's got the speed, but is he a pure vertical? We saw it in the preseason, right? I mean, at least one big shot down the field that they
Hearns did it a couple earlier.
Hearns, though, I think relies more on a little bit more craftiness. You know, I watch
it's
him
a lot
and
of
I don't
out
think,
and up,
wow,
a lot
he's
of,
just burning past right. people. But, yeah, he's been able to be successful on some double moves, which is fine if that's what works for you. Not every team has DeSean Jackson, but if you do, it just opens up everything for everybody else.
Sure, T.Y. Hilton.
Right, exactly. Anybody like that. All right, today, if you'd like to get in, as always, 641-1010, wide open to you. Give Mark Long an angle to write for the Associated Press today during open locker room time. He's leaning towards Cecil Shorts right now.
Well, or Allen Robinson. Line. Allen Robinson's another one.
He's been good.
He's been very good.
The number we heard yesterday, 30 catches without a drop, most in the National Football League, right? That wasn't most among rookies, Tony, right? That was most in the NFL, I believe.
Yeah, without a drop.
Without a drop. 30 catches without a drop.
He's third in the NFL in terms of rookie receptions, I believe.
I think, yeah, it was third or tied for second with Sammy Watkins, something like that.
This is the guy we had all the questions about coming into the season. He missed most of OTAs. He missed most of the preseason. When we saw him in early, we knew. We were like, okay, this guy's got some skill here. He's going to be really good. But then going into the season, you're like, how long is he going to take? And he's been really, I think he's got, is it like five games with at least five catches? Something like that.
He's been very solid. Look at Antonio Brown, because we will come after that record if we need to. All right, 641-1010. You can tweet us in these fashions, or this fashion, at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. Today, the Tom Bush Fan Feedback Spotlight, Tom Bush Family Dealerships, giving you a chance to win tickets to this weekend's game. Really not a question about what you think about the Jags. It's a kind of a trivia thing. With the Who coming into town in April for a concert, my favorite band of all time. I guess my favorite classic rock band and kind of tied with you two, kind of the band of my generation growing up. But regardless, love the Who. What is my favorite Who song? And as many people as get it right, we'll throw you in the hat and we'll draw one. If only one person gets it right, you're going to win the tickets. If nobody gets it right, we'll just draw one at random. We'll give you a pair of tickets to go see Jags Cleveland.
Were you a big CSI fan?
Even if I was, doesn't make that my favorite song. They use two different Who songs for their theme music, right? For the
Quadrophenia. That's mine. My pick.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's a little obscure-ish. I mean, the album's not obscure. But, all right, that's your pick.
It's my favorite pick. Who album.
Yeah.
Quadrophenia, yeah.
I don't know.
That doesn't sound like we hit it. My generation's too old for you. You're not that old.
Oh, I. But
Tommy's too mainstream for you.
Too main. Tommy's too mainstream
for you. I don't. I don't think that'd
be
your favorite song,
Mike.
I don't think that'll be your favorite song. I just don't think.
Tommy's too mainstream. Yeah. Interesting. All right.
I think it's going to be more obscure.
You think?
I think, yeah, you're an obscure guy.
Am I? That's fine. I'll take that from Mark Long of the Associated Press. So you can post on the Facebook page or on Twitter, and certainly always comment about anything you'd like about your Jacksonville Jaguars as well. We'll deal with some social media feedback a little bit later on. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday just getting started here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Do not read too much into the song selection. You can probably figure out the musical theme right away, though. By the way, who's next? Got to be the best album to me, Tony. Doesn't necessarily mean that's where the song originates from. My favorite Who song can win you a pair of tickets to go see the Jags and Cleveland, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today. That's how we're rolling on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're with us. 641-1010. Tweet the program at MD underscore 1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. Yesterday we gave, you know, no one's ever happy, Tony. We got the Facebook contest we've been doing for the Foundation Pros ticket giveaway. I'm going to give those away later on this afternoon. Yesterday we did just a, I think, caller seven as a call-in thing, and then I, of course, had people saying, why don't you do a Twitter contest? Well, I'm doing a Twitter contest. We've done Twitter contests, so... despite the fact that I know somebody's on the line who wants to name a song by The Who, he's also going to make a comment about the Jags. We don't want to take a stream of phone calls guessing what my favorite song is by The Who. Although we did that once years ago for the Eagles, and it took about an hour. It was ridiculous for people.
An hour
to come on to guess my favorite song by the Eagles, which is already gone, which is a phenomenal song. I mean, there's so many good ones, but same ones got like 20 minutes in. Has anybody said Hotel California? no, they haven't. Oh, man.
They missed on that one.
Shocking that they have not done that. So we're not going to do that. All right, 641-1010. Let's get some phone calls rolling on this Wednesday, talking Jags with you here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We'll start with Kevin first up today. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, how about a little Love, Rain, or Me?
I can't tell you. But because I can't ruin it for everybody, but Lauren has logged your guess nonetheless.
Okay. Well, hey, guys, I'm a big Browns fan. I live here in town. Pretty pleasantly surprised in the way they've played this year, but I have some concerns about this game. The Jags make me a little nervous. I know there's a little stretch here where we can make a run. How nervous should I be as a Browns fan facing this Jags team, who is 0-6, but, you know, they've shown some signs. Bortles is playing pretty well, some strength in the defense. I just want to get your perspective on that. I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Mark, and we touched on this briefly, is how big of a loss will Alex Mack be to their ability to dominate the line of scrimmage, the offensive line, and run at will, which they've been able to do so far this year.
Yeah, make no mistake about it. Roy Miller has been Jacksonville's best defensive lineman. I mean, Cedric Marks has played really well, obviously. You know, Andre Branch has been a little bit of a surprise. Andre Davis off, you know, got into the passer too. But there's no question, Roy Miller has been the most dominant defensive lineman in Jacksonville's front there. And so, and he's dominated some center matchups. So I don't know who they're sliding in, you know, what, how much experience the backup has. I don't even know who the backup is, to be honest. Chime in if anybody knows that.
We'll check that out.
All right, you're checking that out on me? Okay.
Here.
And so anyway, so, you know, I would think that that could be a significant matchup problem here against Jacksonville, especially when you're talking about running between the tackles.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, and that's where the Jags, I think, have some strength. John Greco getting the call.
Greco-Roman.
A little Greco-Roman wrestling.
Okay,
there.
Well, I'm putting my money on Roy Miller.
And Cedric Marks, the combination to wreak a little havoc. You hope, anyway. But, you know, they run... Ben Tate is a zone cutback runner. They can run that stretch play to the outside as well. And, you know, so it's not like they're going to run it straight at you the whole day.
No, and I think you mentioned their cutback zone running scheme. And even on Sunday, they did a really good job against Tennessee shutting down that run game for most of the game, especially there in the second half after that first drive where they gave up the field goal. But one of the big issues for this team to me has been Chris Clemens' inability to stay home on that cutback. He has been way too aggressive this season, and he could get exposed this week. With as often as I'm watching Ben Tate on tape, cut that ball back and go against the grain of that play. If Clemens doesn't stay home, they're going to give him some big plays in this run game, at least based on what I've seen.
Yeah, you add to that. The Jags, I thought, did a pretty good job overall on the wide receivers in this football game. They gave up. You got to watch the backs catching passes out of the backfield, too. And Tate's been a pretty good receiver going back to his Houston days. But Justin Hunter didn't kill them. He had a big catch down to the one, but you're going to give up a couple of big plays. And they did a great job on Kendall Wright, who might as well not have gotten off the bus. I mean, that is for as little impact as he had on the football game. Those wide receivers don't really scare me, but all of a sudden Jordan Cameron has woken up. And that's been an issue for this football team.
No, that's been an issue.
Tight end. Yes,
what?
I'm saying it has.
They've been pretty good the last couple
Breaking
weeks.
Breaking news by Mike Dempsey. Yeah,
it's
they've
been
better.
Better.
They were good against Gates. They really had focused on that.
Heath Miller.
They didn't give up much to Heath Miller.
Yeah, Heath Miller is not having a – he had one big game. He's not really had a great
Delaney
season.
Was 3 for 57,
right.
Which
but,
him is a –
but they also missed him on a wide-open 50-yard pass play.
I mean, that's a touchdown.
Oh, it should have been a touchdown.
Charlie
no
Whitehurst,
question.
You know,
it's a little air under
the
time that thing.
Zone.
Yeah.
It's interesting what's going on there with Hoyer, too, you know. We talked about yesterday the comparison Tony brought up to Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn. You know, you win – let's say you win 9 games, you get a wild card spot. Let's say you win a playoff game. That's very tough to move on to another quarterback at that point in time, you know?
Absolutely.
But we saw that here in Jacksonville. People say, hey, did David Garrard, should they have given him that $60 million contract? Well, they didn't have an option that they had drafted in the first round.
Right, waiting in the wings.
It gives them a little leverage. I really wonder, you know, what will Hoyer's true market be? Because... you know, it's being talked about that he's got all this leverage, and maybe he does if they continue to win. But they could just as easily go 7-9, you know, finish out the rest of the way 7-9 and not make the playoffs, and then it's pretty easy to move on.
Yeah, but look at what McCown did in Chicago last year and what he got paid in Tampa Bay.
Good point.
It's a quarterback. People are in need of him. There's not enough good ones out there, and somebody will overpay for him. You don't have to do a lot. And McCown's a perfect example. Matt Flynn's another example. Matt Castle's another example.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you can go down the line pretty good.
All you need are a couple of desperate teams out
Absolutely.
There to bid on
They're,
you.
Again,
Matt,
like I said.
Matt Schaub got another shot.
Sure.
Right?
And got big money.
Yeah.
And got, I mean, he didn't really
ridiculous.
Do ridiculous money. And so somebody somewhere will overpay if he looks like he's the real deal.
All right, let's go back to the phone, 641-1010. Keith, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, guys. How are y'all?
Great. What's up?
How much? I first want to take a guess at the song, Squeezebox.
Okay. Can't tell you.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you because anyone who gets a correct guess.
I like that guess.
We'll
that sounds good.
That.
I like that. Could be you.
That's a
you
good
could
one.
Be a Squeezebox guy.
I like just about anything that you can recognize by the Who. Trust
but you
me.
Have one clear cut.
I have one favorite song. Yeah.
All right.
That's all right. All right. So what's next?
Well, I just. Wondered, I do watch more of the college game than I do Jaguars, but I do love the Jags. Like I said, I'm not an expert, but I was just thinking if we ran more of an I formation and maybe put Gerhardt as fullback and put Robinson in the back, just kind of lead the way. Just kind of want to get your thoughts on that. Maybe that, you know, open up, at least get somebody in front to block. So, or maybe put Mercedes in as a fullback.
It would help if you were available to play, first of all. You know, so.
Well, you know, I'll just say this. Tuafo, I always mess his name up.
Will T.
Is actually a pretty good fullback.
He's very solid fullback.
And, you know, a lot of teams would like to have Will T back there.
I think
he's catching the ball really well.
People are just looking for a way to use Gerhardt.
Well, yeah, and they're looking for a way to beef up the running game. It's just not there. And I really do believe that it's on the offensive line. I just don't. Listen, they've used 4 different runners. Todman, Storm Johnson, Denard Robinson, and Gerhardt. And all of them are right around less than 4 yards a carry. Maybe Denard Robinson's the best of the group, but how many of those have been, you know, on third downs where he's gotten a draw or whatever? Anyway, you know, I think Storm Johnson averaged, 2.7 last week? So it's not, the running room is not there. And that's the part of when you've got two second-year offensive linemen and two rookies up there and Zane Beatles, who's underperforming. You know, I don't know what people expect.
No, I agree with you. And look, it's been brought up before. And let's keep in mind, too, and I'm not trying to – I don't think it would be vastly different if this weren't the case, but Toby Gerhardt did get hurt in the first game to the point where he couldn't even play this week.
Sure.
So it's been, he's – you know, I think he's got a couple of issues going on with that leg.
He does.
You get
foot
tackled
and ankle.
Awkwardly,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean – I'm not trying to say, oh, Toby Gerhardt would be this all-pro performer right now. He hasn't, nobody's really shown much, but I agree with you. It's much more a case of the offensive line. You know, yesterday we were talking with Logman. I know you hate the reference, but he said he thinks that Jokel's doing a really good job in run blocking.
By the way.
I know, I'm kidding. Yeah. That he's doing a really good job in run blocking. I said, well, why can't they run the ball? Well, can't just have one guy doing a good job in run blocking. And Zane Beatles, I think, by all accounts, has not lived up to the contract, certainly. And it's not even about the money. It's just play better. I don't care what he makes. Good for him, man. But you don't have Mercedes in
there. That's going to be – I was just about to bring that up. They're going to be a much better run team when Mercedes Lewis gets back on this football team. He's just a dominant run guy and dominant in the run game, and he can take a defensive end and help you slide. There's so many things that he can do to set that edge that they're going to be a lot better when he gets back. And I don't care who you get. They don't have – there's not another Mercedes Lewis sitting out there on the street, sitting on a practice squad somewhere where you can bring him in and he can slide right in there and be a dominant in the run game.
I'm with you. Bolt City Batman said he always saw me as more of a Slayer fan.
I don't know about that.
Without the hair. Okay,
the exception of lacking the metal hair. No.
Or the taste in heavy metal.
Or the taste in heavy metal. Yeah. But that's all right. You know what?
I'm much closer to the Slayer fan.
Yeah, I'm not really a heavy metal guy.
You know what I will say,
whatsoever.
Though? The Who and U2 don't seem to be... I wouldn't ever classify them as similar genres.
It's all right. Somebody said they see me as a Styx fan. I love Styx.
Okay, well, Styx works. Styx is much
Paradise
more...
Paradise Theater by Styx, one of my 10 favorite albums of all time.
Right, more in the ballpark with Who.
Fleetwood Mac. Styx what? And the Who? Styx?
A little bit more than U2 and
like,
the Who.
Styx is closer to Air Supply than they are to the Who, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't see Styx smashing too many instruments
on
the stage.
Okay.
But regardless, we're getting far afield here. Let's get, we're gonna. Leo, next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Leo. How are you?
Very good. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I want to ask you a question. How long has Cleveland's head coach been there?
The first year.
And see, these are the types of games Gus Bradley, to me, needs to win. Now, I'm not going to be real hard on Gus Bradley because he's been a head coach for 2 years. Not right now. My expectations, I don't expect him to beat the Bill Belichicks and the Andy Reid's of the world. But these other young coaches out here, and I believe they are going to win at home. Blake Bortles is the guy, and he needs to start putting more faith and trust in his young quarterback, man, because he can do it. He can get it done. I kind of disagree with his – you know, I listened to a lot of the game on the radio last week. I like listening to the games on the radio. I don't know why. It's just weird. I do. And I agree with Logman. A lot of people didn't agree with him. I think he should have went for more yardage. I think Bortles could have rolled out, either scrambled for the extra 5 or 10 yards or even thrown it away. And you've got to put that kind of trust in a kid, man, because you've got a good football player. And one other thing I'd like to see from the wide receivers, all these guys are young. Everybody has to remember that. Our coaching staff, our players, everything's young with this team. But I do think they can beat Cleveland because they just come off this big win against Pittsburgh. Everybody's going to think that, oh, Cleveland, you know, is going to come in here and just throttle the Jags. And I think the Jaguars are going to come away with a win. I'm not saying that as a fan. I'd like to see these wide receivers, though. I don't know if you guys know what this means, but just to shield the defender when they come back for the ball. Bortles is going to make some mistakes, and he may underthrow these guys. But they have to learn how to come back for the ball and shield the defender. Too many times I've seen these guys just jump in the air, leave their feet. Never leave your feet, guys. Always stay on your feet if you're a wide receiver. You can make plays that way. But I do think we're going to get a win this weekend, guys, and I appreciate you taking my
all
call.
Right. Thank you, Leo. I appreciate everything until you question whether or not we knew what shielding off a defender means.
Right.
What program you think you're listening
to? You know
what?
I'm going to say, you know what?
That's pretty insulting.
He needs to go to Gainesville. They need help over in Gainesville receiving. He could be a receivers coach over there.
Look, if you match him up player for player, the Cleveland has a better roster than the Jags right now at this moment. The Jags could develop, these young guys could develop into better players, but I was talking about we're young. That's assuming all the young guys are going to get better. Is Luke Jokel going to, right now, he doesn't look like a number two pick in the draft should look. At this moment. I know he's young. I know he hasn't played that much. But You know, anybody question Baselli's, looking like a number two pick in the draft?
And you can make a direct comparison. Joe Thomas is an established upper-level left tackle in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Cleveland's dealing with. They have an established center, an established left tackle. That offensive line looks
top
good.
Top five. Got
right.
It.
And, look, they don't have anything at receiver, but neither do you, Jackson. I mean, you have a bunch of young guys that you hope turn into something, but we've talked about this I don't know how many times. Rookie receivers in this league, unless they have something that completely elevates them because of their size or their speed or something like that, they don't succeed early. At least not at the numbers they're going to in a year or two down the line. And none of the guys they drafted are guys that are like Randy Moss or these guys that we've talked about before. So Cleveland has a better team, a better roster. I know when we were talking about it before the season, I liked Cleveland as a dark horse AFC wildcard team. I liked them to push in the AFC North this year for a possible division title. I liked that team until I saw all the chaos at the quarterback position in the preseason, and they found the right guy. In the end, they got the right guy in the game, and Brian Hoyer's been really good for that team through the first month and a half.
People were killing Mike Pettine in the preseason based on the soap opera of the quarterback position.
Sure.
And, you know, some of that maybe was his handling of it. A lot of it was that was going to come with the territory when you drafted that guy in round number one. And Brian Hoyer really had a three-game sample is all you had to go on going back to last year where he played well and then got hurt and was out for the rest of the season. And, you know, it was never anybody's next great quarterback, you know. So, once he, like Tony said, settled on that position, things have gotten moving in the right direction for them. All right, we'll step aside. We'll come back with more of your phone calls at 641-1010. Talking Jags with you, Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, and Fat Tony on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Did you know we were just talking about this one, Warren Brooks? Joe Fortunato popped into the studio when music is on.
I never eavesdrop on y'all's conversations.
Yes, you're a
print.
Liar, big liar, big fat liar. Joe and I will talk. Joe knows, as I'll tell anybody, if I were not in this business, I would want to be an AM Gold 70s DJ. Would be where it would be for myself. Joe and I, we'd do a show together. It would be terrible.
I would listen.
The music would be phenomenal. It would be fantastic. So
I left Joe a little message on the board, by the way.
I know you did. Now, wait a minute. You left Joe a message. He said, I'm happy to see Warren Brooks. He wrote
right.
that on the board.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's why my favorite song is Hey Joe. Then the bright member of
Where
Helmets
you
and Heels.
With that gun in your hand.
Wrote,
I love that
Mike
song.
Dempsey rules, and Mike is wicked awesome. You can figure out which member of Helmets and Heels might use that phrase. Who left us the half-eaten donut is what I want to know.
That would have been Blythe. I don't think it was half-eaten. She left a box with full donuts in it. She didn't leave any half-eaten, so I don't know who ate that.
There's a half-eaten in there. Mark Long's eyeing it right now.
She brought us all donuts, but I think she was the only one who ate them.
We just had a pre-show debate on...
Wow, you just threw her right under the bus.
Well, she ate her own donuts.
You
That's
just
okay.
said she ate 3.5 donuts.
I did, I guess. Well, she didn't eat the half.
Wow.
I don't know who ate the half.
All right, so she ate three.
Three donuts.
And the security guard had the half.
That's strong.
Yeah, three that's probably about it.
Wow.
All right, we had a debate pre-show to refrigerate or not refrigerate your donuts. Lauren, where do you weigh in on this?
Okay, well... I have a long story about donuts that I won't bore y'all with, but
thank you.
I would say refrigerate because of the whole icing thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And they taste better.
Is this a cake?
What
is Tad Dickman bringing us? We have a cake?
Whoa,
what is it?
Cake.
Cookies. Oh, Jaguar cookies.
Wow,
that's outstanding.
Look at that.
See,
do I get one?
None of them half-eaten. Will you grab me one while you're over there, please? Grab me a fully uneaten cookie.
Is someone going to bring me a cookie?
So Tad Dickman is one of the great PR guys here in the Jags building, and it's his 25th birthday.
Happy birthday, Tad.
Ladies, he's single. He's a good-looking kid.
Handsome. He's a baller. He's a college athlete.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basketball
and,
player.
So he turns 25 on Saturday, I believe, is his birthday. Well, his mother is on Twitter, and she follows all of us. And so we have to be careful what we say. Yeah,
so
Barbara.
Are these birthday cookies?
So these are his birthday. They came via the mail. So Mike DeRocco started this thing the other day, Monday, saying that he hopes she sends him something. I said, but he didn't mention her on Twitter. I said, well, why won't you just throw it out at her? I said, so I tagged her in the retweet, and she said, oh yeah, Tad's got something coming in the mail, and with any luck, it'll be there long before Saturday. So I just saw Tad down in his office, and I said to him, I said, you got anything yet? And he said, no. I'm like, well, listen, I'm not going to be here Friday, so I need it Wednesday or Thursday. And he's like, well, I don't know.
I didn't want to wait longer than Thursday.
So anyway, so these are Tad's birthday cookies. They are they're sugar cookies with white icing. They say Jags. All of them have Jags on. Yours says, well, because you ate half of it. Yours looks like Blythe's donut right now.
Yes.
Poor Blythe.
It's like
she's
a Pac-Man.
Trying to be nice and bring us
you, yeah, I mean, that is unbelievable, throwing her under the bus. She ate three donuts. You just like, I assume there are three chocolate, too, because all
that's
these things cool. Have chocolate.
They're all, they're like the, they're all,
like the Halloween.
Oh, yeah, they've either got. Yeah, they've either got cream in them or chocolate on top or chocolate and sprinkles.
All right.
Good job describing everything, Mark.
Hey, well, yeah, thank you. If nothing else.
It's radio. You know,
you got to find a way to have a good time when the team's 0-6, right? Happy birthday,
absolutely.
Tad Dickman, and thank you to Tad's mom.
Barbara Dickman.
Barbara. Right. I don't know her well enough to call her Mrs. Dickman, okay? I don't know her well enough to call her by her first name.
And thank you,
I don't
Tad's
know her at
mom.
All, in fact. But thank you for the cookie. And on we go. Let's go 641-1010. Dwayne, you're up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Enjoying the show. Yeah, you know, have you guys seen that Geico commercial where the lady's, like, putting the pictures on the wall and they're acting like it's Facebook?
Yes.
And then the lady's like, okay, that's not how it works.
That's not how any of this works.
Yes, that is so funny. But but the free agent thing. I'm not sure. I don't think that's how it works anymore. No, I think by the time these players, if, you know, getting rookies and trying to bring them along, by the end of, you know, the time, by the end of their contract, they'll be, you know, if they turn into be what we plan them to be, then, I mean, we won't be able to afford them. So we'll just training them for somebody else, you know, I don't know if you won't be able to afford them.
That's you know, if you wait till everybody hits free agency at the same time, I understand the potential issue with that there. But you get proactive, and you know, you sign some of these guys a little ahead of time and you try to stagger contracts as much as possible. And look, I understand the issue that you're bringing up. I don't know. At some point, you've got to spend money, whether it's in free agency or to re-sign your own guys before they hit free agency or in free agency itself. All the cap space that they have, I think they have probably a pretty sound economic plan that if these guys do flourish at the same time, Dave Caldwell strikes me as the kind of guy that is probably earmarked dollars mentally 5 years down the line, like in the hopes that, hey, this is going to work the way we want. I'm going to be able to keep my job because it is working the way we want. And that's a job of a good GM, is to stay ahead of that kind of issue.
Yeah, I said it 2 weeks ago. I think we had this discussion about, you know, the plan. And they've got a lot of cap space. And the plan is they're going to address more holes next year. But the majority of that cap space is going to be used to re-sign the guys they draft, the guys they bring in, the guys they like. I don't think Zane Beatles will see the full length of his contract. I don't think the two ends, I don't think Clemens and Red Bryant will see the extent of that contract. I think, you know, they're stopgap guys, and they're going to keep adding some stopgap guys every year till they get this thing where they want it. But and you have to overpay in free agency. So you need a lot of that cap space, A, to overpay in free agency for holes, and then B, when these guys do, after 3 years, they're going to start coming into fruition. You're going to have to make decisions on who you're going to pay, and so you're going to need to pay some of these guys.
You have to do it wisely, obviously. You have to select the right guys to pay. But when you're a young guy, the balance is, well, if they offer me a deal with a year left of my contract, maybe I want to take the bird in hand and get that signing bonus as opposed to wait until we're all free agents at the same time, and then maybe I get the big deal, but what if I get hurt? What if I tear my ACL? So you can be proactive. If you say, you know what, this Allen Robinson kid, he's pretty good, right?
Right.
So we'll go out there, and 3 years in, we won't wait till the fourth year, we'll go sign him to the next extension. And
it's the Maurice Jones-Drew. That's what Gene Smith, you know, everybody rips Gene Smith, but, you know, he was smartly – with Maurice Jones-Drew, signed him and got him at what most people consider a pretty good value before.
For what he gave him.
Yeah, well before his contract was up.
But now, he also did that with Mike Thomas.
Sure,
didn't
absolutely.
Didn't work out.
No.
Then you
absolutely.
Move on.
Yeah.
So, and then you try to get a draft pick for Mike Thomas.
Which they did.
Which they did.
But guys you think are going to be part of the long-term fix here, you want to try to get them locked up as soon as possible and as cheaply as possible sometimes.
All right, let's see what's next. Let's go to Chris up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. I wanted to let you know my guess at the song was Pinball Wizard. I know you can't comment, but at the same time, I wanted to make a comment about the Jags and not enough of an X and O's guys or guy to really dissect the game, but wanted your take on it, and I'll listen to your response off air. How much longer, if we go with a two-win season, if we open up next season with this kind of start like we're doing now, and I'm having a root canal every Sunday having to watch the Jags play, how much longer until you see a timetable as far as a pushback? Because I was really sold on the product as far as the Jags fan at the beginning of the year until the second half of the Eagles game. So you start seeing stuff pop up like what's happening in Gainesville with, you know, www.hireSomebodyElse. So,
right.
Just wanted your take on that.
To that extent, yeah, I don't sense it's close to that extent, but we're already hearing that. People say, well, when is it okay to question Gus Bradley? It's okay anytime. You can question him right now if you want to.
Sure,
You know, nobody's stopping you. And, I think,
and you'd be right to question him after Sunday's game.
Hey, look, you're right. He made some mistakes.
And he admitted it.
And, you know, the bottom line is you are what your record says you are, right? And you may turn into this, and you may be building it the right way, but even some teams that try to build it the right way, not many strip it down to this degree, but there are teams that try to go young and build through the draft. Well, you sometimes don't draft the right guys, or they get hurt, or any number of things happen, or suspended, right? I mean, sure. In the case of Justin Blackman, I know they didn't draft him, but, you know, you look and they had hoped when they came in, oh, okay, Blackman shorts, we'll get through that first year, and then we'll add a few pieces, and then, you know, we'll get Blackman's gone again. You know, Shorts is hurt all the time. I mean, you can't fix it all in one off season. People say, well, why don't they have more playmakers? They're trying to address it. I don't know what areas you'd have them address that they're not addressing. I think they're making, you can question whether all the picks have been spent wisely. I think right now, Jonathan Cyprian has a better reputation than his actual play on the field. I think he's been strong in run support.
Played really well last week, though.
You think?
Or 2 weeks, was it 2 weeks ago? I thought he played. No, last week. I thought he played well last week.
Yeah, that touchdown that they missed to Delaney Walker. That's because Cyprian sprinting head up. Well, but it's that kind of play. He made tackles near the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
But if you can make eight plays, if the two you don't make result in long gains or touchdowns, I don't know if that's necessarily
then you're in trouble. Sure. Yeah. And I've said it before, and I'll continue to say there is no team in the league doing what Jacksonville is doing in terms of rebuilding. And literally from the ground up, where they strip it down position by position. They've got, what is it? What's the number? 29 first or second year players on this team, or 27, 28, 29, right in there. I mean, that's ridiculous. No other team in the league's like that. But there's hope because it looks like they hit on the quarterback.
And that's really
the most important thing. And if you've got that, everybody else makes it a lot easier to build around him.
Would you rather, like, Houston's roster, I think, is better around, you know, J.J. Watt,
sure,
and Clowney, and even right now, for the time being, Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is going to be a good player. You can look at some of these guys. Better roster now? Would you rather have that and have a three-win season right now, all right, where they are? Or would you rather have Blake Bortles, and they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they're still going to be searching for that long-term answer at the position? Because I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick can win them a Super Bowl. So, you know, is it Ryan Mallett hiding on that roster? Is it Tom Savage? I doubt it for either one of those.
Yeah, teams. I'm with you. I don't know. If it's me as a fan, it's a tough sell. I get it. It's tough to watch your team get its teeth kicked week in and week out and to lose gut-wrenching losses and whatnot. But it is a lot easier to deal with when you think you've got the guy at the most important position in team sports.
All right, here we go. We'll take a timeout, and we'll come back with this date in football history, Mark's favorite, as well as the Honda drive around the NFL. Again, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. Just guess my favorite Who song today. Tweet or post on the Facebook page. You can tweet at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, and as many as get it right, I'll throw you in the drawing, and we'll give away a pair of tickets to this weekend's game, Jags and Cleveland. Coming up, it's a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. And we'll start off making Tony a little bit happy with this date in football history, if I can find my note here. It was on this date in 1933 that the Philadelphia Eagles played their first game, Tony. lost it 56-0 to the New York Giants.
Yeah,
well, there you
that's
go.
What I'm
Tony,
talking
Tony
about.
Tony hates the Philadelphia Eagles.
I do not like the city of Philadelphia. That's the truth.
October 14th, 1990, Houston quarter. Oh, that's yesterday. October 15th, 2000, St. Louis quarterback Kurt Warner completes 24 of 40, passes for 313 yards and three touchdowns, which equaled his record-tying sixth straight 300-yard game. The Rams rolled over the Atlanta Falcons 45-29. Sounds like a typical Falcons game this year, for the most part. They've been on the good end of a couple, but they've been on the bad end of a few.
I had Marshall Faulk that year, 99.
99? That was 2000, but either one. If you had Marshall Faulk in that time frame, he was the guy to own back in fantasy. And in 2001, the 0-4 Dallas Cowboys squared off with the 0-4 Washington Redskins on Monday Night Football, the only time in the 31-year history at the time of Monday Night Football that two 0-4 teams had matched up. Dallas won a scintillating game by a score of 9-7 on Monday Night Football. So there you have it.
I think they'd take that this year. I mean, haven't all the primetime games just been awful?
Last week was entertaining as hell. The Thursday game with Indy and Houston ended up, it was terrible.
But it looked first quarter. Right, it looked like it was over. People changed the channel. Yeah.
No, you're right for the most part.
Thursday, Sunday, Monday have been pretty much lopsided.
Sunday this week was bad.
Sunday this week was bad.
I saw a stat on it. They've all been pretty bad.
I trust you on that one. I guess I haven't noticed. I haven't thought about it. Thursday night has stood out for sure.
They all average double digit wins.
Double-digit margin of victory.
Which is really odd because they tell you that, you know, this league's a seven-point league.
It is a weird league, though, man. It's a league where you can lose 56-14 one week, and then you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in their place the next if you're the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, I mean, and then Flacco throws four touchdowns in the first quarter against you last week.
That's
so
crazy.
It is kind of nuts. Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry presents this date in football history. Again, on Gate Parkway, if you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall at 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The Cincinnati Bengals have placed wide receiver Marvin Jones on season-ending injured reserve. Jones broke his foot during the preseason and then injured his ankle. The team believes overcompensating for the injured foot when he returned to practice with the team about a week and a half ago. The Bengals are also going to be without star wideout A.J. Green for a second straight week when they go to Indianapolis this week. Dallas Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith has been named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. It's the first time that an offensive lineman has been given that award since 2004.
That's pretty awesome, actually, to recognize with that. That Cowboys line has been outstanding. Doug Free, I think, is expected to miss a week.
It's 4 weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
4 to 5 weeks for them, so he'll be out about a month. The Harris Poll of America's favorite team has been completed for the 2014 calendar year. The Dallas Cowboys, who have lived at the top spot in this poll every year, have been dethroned as the most popular team in the National Football League. The Denver Broncos,
Packers team,
right, come in at number one this year. The New York Giants and Green Bay Packers at numbers 2 and 3, with the Cowboys slipping all the way to fourth. The Pittsburgh Steelers round out the top five, and the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks sit at sixth. Where are the Jags? They've been all alone and last on this poll every year since 2009. Like the offseason power polls, though, there's a little improvement for the team this year. They aren't alone in last, because the Jaguars and Titans were tied for 30 most popular team in the league. Yeah. All of the AFC South teams come in at 26th or lower in the poll. The Colts at 26, the Texans at 27, and the Jags and Titans tied for last at 31.
Progress? He asks. I don't know. It really goes to show you.
Well, they're not dead last. They're tied for last.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is good. I think, you know, there is, we talked about this all season, there was the air of optimism around this franchise. With the fan base, the organization, you still come to work here every day. And it's like, it's not like people are like, oh, I mean, nobody's happy that they're 0-6, but like, hey, I mean, I walk in here every day and different people in this organization are like, hey, this is the week. Hey, we're going to get it turned around. Hey, we're so close. I mean, I hope that's the case, but it is amazing. I think Shad Khan has had a big impact on that. You know, sir, I don't think nationally people realize the personality of Gus Bradley yet because they haven't been exposed to it. You know, yeah. Shot Khan just, you know, the mustache, the hair, you know,
sure,
he's
the money.
Cool, he's the cool guy. They all got money, though. Come on.
No, well, listen, some guys have a lot more money than others.
Yeah.
And
well, Paul Allen has never been the cool owner.
Shot Khan has more money than Wayne Weaver.
True.
For sure. And,
he's got
and
the helicopter.
Yeah, sure.
He's got the cool shoes.
Two planes.
He's got
very
the
cool
the Nike Air dress shoes. Is it Nike Air dress shoes, I think?
I believe it is.
Something
yeah,
like
the
that.
The blue ones, yeah.
Like the inside, oh, like yeah. the inside are cozy,
own,
comfy.
Have their own pattern.
Business
on
the outside, party on the inside kind of deal, you know? But
that would be nice.
Look, front run, there are traditional fan bases in there. Seattle's not a traditional fan base. What's happening with Seattle? They're winning games, right?
Sure.
Why is Denver more popular than Seattle, the team that routed them? Well, they do it in a more appealing style for the typical casual fan out there. People
but I might question, when was that poll taken? Now that Dallas is 5-1 and the talk of the NFL, I wonder if Dallas, if you had to redo it right now, Seattle's got two losses, Dallas is 5-1, probably the surprise of the NFL, right?
Here's the very scientific method. Tweet us and tell us who your favorite team is. And there,
well, I think we'll get a lot of Jags. I don't think the Jags would finish 31.
I would
hope
expect
not.
They would win in a landslide.
You would hope, yeah.
I would fully expect they'd win in a landslide. But look, it's
edging the Sharks.
It's fun, right? Yes, absolutely. It is fun to watch the ball in the air. I mean, that's just what this game, that's why the NFL has moved the game, not only for the safety issue, it way predated this whole wave of safety concern. You know, it's just points and what's appealing, and that's what we like. I mean, you talk Gator fans, you cover the Gators, right?
I do.
So, they've been winning games.
They won
but
a
if
lot
they're not
of
winning them in the right, they want to win, but they want to win pretty. Right, don't they? I mean,
well, they got spoiled in the 90s.
Yes, but that's
they
okay.
They got spoiled under Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer.
That's part of it.
Sure.
You know?
But that's a lot of fan bases. That's not just Gainesville, too. I mean, there's a lot.
I agree with you. You happen to cover that.
Yeah, sure.
Team.
You're watching Nick Saban react that way right now.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Nick Saban exploded.
This week they win 14-13, and is nothing good enough for you people?
Right, but it's not, and you got to understand that. I don't think that getting mad at the fan base or ripping reporters is the way to handle that. That's the world in which you live. That's why you get paid $6-7 million a year to handle that. So you deal with it.
I think ripping reporters is always appropriate, personally, okay? Of which I don't know if I really consider myself one. So rip at AP Mark Wahl. Rip away.
You wouldn't be the first.
But before we get, we'll get a caller in here in just a moment. Harold's on the line. But before we do, what's your sense, Muschamp? Surviving? Till what point? End of the season, and then.
Well, I think if they were to lose this Saturday against a fairly mediocre Missouri team that's coming off of 41-0 home loss to Georgia, I think that could be the end.
You think Foley would make the move in season?
Yeah. Listen, Foley has always it's his motto, it's his philosophy. Is that if you want the minute you decide you have to make the move,
do it now.
You make the move.
Yeah, to get
ahead
his
thing is
hiring curve.
If something must be done eventually, it must be done immediately. That's his exact motto. So you know there's a sense that if they lose to Missouri, then they fall. They're three losses. They'd be two games back of Georgia, and then even beating Georgia the following week doesn't get you really back in the SEC race. So. You know, I think there's some thought that it could pull the trigger. But now, with that said, I don't think there's any scenario in which they lose to Missouri at home. They're coming off a stinker. I get it. They've lost to Georgia Southern at home. They were in triple overtime with Kentucky. They got blown out of Alabama. They lose to probably the worst LSU team we've seen in 20 years. I get it. They could. I just don't think they will.
Any scenario? Wow.
I just don't.
Wow.
Don't.
All right. You may be right that they win. I don't know if I'd go any scenario. The Georgia Southern card, you could have stopped right there for me. All right. Moving on. By the way, I had Jerick McKinnon on, Georgia Southern grad. I had him on Sirius last week and got
He's
good
still
karma.
Glowing.
He took the job. What do you think the first thing I asked him about was, Tony? What about fantasy football? Harold, you're up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I'm sure when Dave Caldwell came here and just Gus Bradley, they have a plan, and I'm sure Dave Caldwell have another plan, and that's to Gus Bradley if he don't produce. I mean, every day he says good things, and you want somebody to be positive. But Sunday, that's the day when you're supposed to produce. And his job would be, he got to look out for his job, too, and the team and the fans. I'm thinking if Gus Bradley don't win 7 games this year, at least 7. There ain't no more 4, 7. Just to please the fans, I think Gus Bradley's gone.
This year?
You're 7 this year?
You're
insane, Harold. I said as politely as I possibly can. It's not Dave Caldwell's job to please the fans at all. It's his job to please the owner. That's who he works for. It's his job to build a competitive football team. It's not to appease anything in that regard, in my opinion.
I still don't get where, I mean, we've discussed this too. I don't get where people lose sight of what's happening in the rebuild, and they get their hopes up because it's a decent offseason. You draft the quarterback, you draft some receivers, you add some pieces in free agency, and they get their hopes up. But they lose sight of where this thing's coming from and how they're rebuilding and where it was when they started the rebuild. And
that being said, do they think they'd be further along right now?
Sure. Well, all right. Yeah. Well, they also didn't think they'd start 0-8 last year by getting their, you know, getting
understood.
Their
so they're not living up to their own standard then.
Well,
their own...
I think I think even when you're close to it, when you're not close, I think either way you get caught up in maybe the fervor of building it, and you get some pieces and you look good against each other in over the summer and whatnot, and you start getting your hopes up.
Yeah, but the seven total is just outside the realm of possibility.
Very few people had them winning more than 6 was a maximum that I saw anybody picking them to win. There were, like, Gil Brandt picked them as a dark horse or at least a wild card. I can't remember.
Gil Brandt picked him to go to the playoffs. Several national, not necessarily, you know, the biggest name people, but there were several people. People try to be provocative as well, but,
sure,
you know, they try to get ahead of the curve and show you how smart they are, and that's fine, though. But, you know, at least they were well thought of enough to be that team that could surprise, at least, you know, based on the positive offseason buzz. We got to take a timeout. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday, 641-1010. Phone lines continue to be open for you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Metro Rooter Wednesday continues for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it. It has to do with your plumbing issues. Metro Rooter, the call to make. I called them out to my house. I got a new toilet put in, brand new sink put in. Had some issues. The house getting older. I don't have those issues anymore because the professionals of Metro Rooter came out, took care of the job. Fantastic customer service, by the way. Same day service, weekends included. The right people with the right equipment. Serving Jacksonville since 1978. I know you're thinking, oh yeah, oh sure, they're your sponsor. They got to take care of you. Look, my wife called. They didn't even know it was me. They came out and just did a phenomenal job. Absolutely would trust them, and I do. I mean, I couldn't give you a more powerful endorsement than that's the company that I use. What else can I tell you? MetroRooter.com and the number, 695-1911, if you've got plumbing issues, and they hope you don't. But if you do, you won't have them for long if you make that call to Metro Rooter. All right, our number here, 641-1010. Lauren, I assume all these people are still on the line, so let's take them in the order that they called in, starting with MJ next up on Jaguars Today. Hi, MJ, how are you?
Hey, guys. Maybe I'm a guy that's, you know, considers everything, you know, the glass half full, but when we first started this year, everybody was saying just keep it close in the fourth quarter. Last couple weeks they've done that, you know, that pick six against Pittsburgh, and then last week, of course. But, you know, we're starting all them rookies. Jokel's almost a redshirt rookie. I mean, he didn't play hardly at all last year. I just think that if we got more long passes instead of that dink and dunk, and that's basically because no running game. But I think it's coming together. It's just going to take a little while longer.
All right. Well, look, they hope to have 65,000 more just like you. You know, and I think they're, you know, Ryan Robinson, Jags Media Relations, came in this morning. He goes, what's the feedback you're getting? He goes, is it all negative? I said, no, it's not at all. We get calls just like that, and we get calls, and I understand both sides of it. Tony, we've talked about this. I mean, you feel like you're just beating the same thing into the ground, but there are people that can take that view, and that's a reasonable view to take.
Sure.
Extremely young. We believe in the building process, okay? All right. They're on the other side, got a guy like Duval Doom just tweeted us. He said, look, I understand, but I'm not happy. We should have won those last couple games. And I understand that side, too. And as a fan, it's your prerogative to feel how you feel about this football team. It's easier for us to divorce our emotions from it. We sit here and try to just analyze what's going on. I do think that they are building the nucleus of what could turn out to be a good roster, but I totally get a fan who says, you know what? They're not asking me to pay building prices. They're asking me to pay full price for my season tickets. And I've been suffering through this. You know, I don't care how long you've been on the job. I've been on the job for 20 years as a Jaguar fan.
That's right.
And for the last
It's been bad
dozen.
Since 08.
Yeah.
It's been bad since 08.
I totally understand that. And I think both sides are valid. You're a fan. You're the right to feel how you want to feel about the organization. My only question to you would be, you know, for the people who are taking it to the extreme, the guy who says they got to win seven games the rest of the way, that's crazy.
Ludicrous.
Talk, okay? But what is the threshold for you out there? I mean, how dissatisfied are you? Because I can't. The only thing that gave me pause is talking with Joe Cowart the other day. He says, "What if they go 0-16? That's a bitter pill to swallow. Okay, that's a blemish that's rarely been seen in Nashville. What did we see? The Lions did it, and the Bucks went 0-14.
Yep,
and that's about it, right?
That is it.
I mean, that's the rock bottom of all time. You hope it doesn't come to that. There's 10 games left. It couldn't have looked any bleaker than it did last year at the 8-game mark when they just got whacked in London by San Francisco, maybe play their worst game of the first half, and then that's when they got things turned around. So.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't see 0-16 happening. I just don't. Maybe I'm being too optimistic, but I'll say this, and I've said it before. In all of the years of this franchise, they didn't have the right combination of owner willing to spend, general manager making the right picks, and head coach making the correct decisions. And I get that people are frustrated the last 2 weeks because of this, that, and the other. Winning is still a learning process. You got to learn how to win those close games, and they're going to get there. It's just not there yet. And, you know, listen, and Gus Bradley hasn't been a coach. He hasn't been in a lot of these tight games, and I think that it's a learning process for him too.
Would they be – and I know the end – this is the NFL, and you are what your record says you are. I really believe that. This is not, we don't vote on who the eyeball test tells us who makes the playoffs, right?
Right.
So, but if Scobie makes the kick, are they any better of a team today than they are?
You feel better,
absolutely.
Well,
I think
that's what people are looking for. People want to feel better.
All the rest of it. Scobie's made a 59-yarder.
And you get out of the, listen, I don't kid yourself. There was a lot of weight lifted off this team last year
when they won
after the
0-8
start, when they won that first game.
No question.
You erase all of the talk of 0-16 and history and this, that, and the other. It's just nice to not have to play under that or work under that cloud. So that's why it's a big deal.
I agree. I get all that. But in the bottom, the sum total, the team's not any more talented or less talented.
No,
based on the one kick that got blocked.
But Gus's decisions don't become
understood.
All the talk.
Understood.
You know,
but they're still bad decisions, right? The ones that were bad are going to be bad whether he makes that kick or not.
Sure. But it's just like we talk about Florida a lot. Just about, go back to Florida last week. Did you watch the game? Florida game?
I don't do the SEC network.
If Tevin Westbrook catches that pass on third down in the end zone, Driscoll's a hero. Florida wins, and it changes. Winning hides everything. I mean, it covers up your mistakes on the back end. It covers up the fact that you can't run the ball. You know, you're the worst rushing attack in the NFL next outside of Oakland, I guess. So winning would change a lot of things for this franchise. One win, two wins, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be seven, but it needs to be more than zero.
I agree with that. 641-1010. DJ, you are next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mark, I couldn't disagree with you more about winning, learning how to win. This is big boy football, okay? And if Sunday the Dallas-Seattle game didn't show you that the talent is about the Jimmys and the Joes, not the X's and O's, 3rd and 20, Romo escape, bam, that's talent wins those games. Because the Cowboys could have easily lost that game. So it's the talent that puts you, the playmakers that we don't have, the deserts for a 3rd and 5 or whatever, we don't have that as a franchise. So it's not learning to win. This is big boy football. And it's like, I think Caldwell is on the right track, but I think by the time this team breaks through, I don't think Gus will be the coach.
Well, look, if you expect Blake Bortles to be on the level of Tony Romo, who's played as a starting quarterback in the National Football League for however many years it's been. You know, talent. I think I think Blake Bortles is as talented as Tony Romo, maybe more talented. He's just not at the point where all those. He's not going to see the game. The game's not going to slow down for him to the degree that it does for a veteran quarterback. All these factors that experience does play a role. I mean, I'm sorry. Peyton Manning threw 26 touchdowns his rookie year. Was he not talented? Or did he learn on the job and get better and hone that talent and be able to take that raw ability and now process it and his mind caught up with his physical ability? I mean, that's just the quarterback position. But
Dez Bryant caught 45 passes for 561 yards as a rookie, 63 passes as his second year, 92 his third year, 93 last year. He's on pace to top 100 this year. Guys get better in this league.
We've been talking about the wide receiver example.
So why would you go, they don't have any playmakers, they don't have any playmakers? What do you want when they've got four guys going out there? Cecil Shorts finally gets healthy. What did he have? He caught 10 balls for 103 yards. And again, I get that he fumbled, but you throw that fumble out, and it was a spectacular game for Cecil Shorts coming back. And they're, you know, the reality is, and we talk about it all the time, they're missing their, what should be their number one playmaker at that position in Justin Blackmon.
I'm not doubting that they need more difference makers on offense. They do. But they're trying to piece, they hopefully, in their mind, drafted two of them. But again, go back and you decided Dez, I've cited Reggie Wayne, I cite any, just practically any non-physical mutation freak like AJ Green or one of those type guys, and they all start relatively slowly. At the end of the day, Allen Robinson's numbers this year are going to be better than those numbers you just quoted for Dez Bryant in his rookie year.
No question.
Catching balls from a veteran QB with established players around him and a potential Hall of Fame tight end and Jason Witten there. And all. I mean, you know, look, you don't have to be happy about it, but we're just trying to see
it's
both sides of the coin here.
Realistic expectations, and somewhere, somehow, the expectations for this team, especially this offense, I don't doubt that there needed to be some expectations on that defensive side, but the expectations for this team, for this offense with six rookies, no Mercedes Lewis, no Cecil Shorts, were off the chart too high by a lot of people. Not everybody, but a lot of people.
I was about to say, I remember how many times we talk about in the offseason, look, the defense looks like it's going to be pretty good, but seriously, step back and look at what they're coming into the season with on offense. I mean, it's Cecil Shorts and a bunch of rookies. We knew that coming into the year. We knew that the offensive line was going to be young. It's a developing product, and that at some point it was going to be Blake Bortles. Now, it happened sooner than I think a lot of people thought it was going to happen with Blake coming into the lineup for this team. And I'm not saying that the fans have to be happy with any of that. If they want to say, well, they should have gone out and got somebody that could help this offense, that's fine if you want to say it. Tell me who.
Well, and
tell
it does,
me
and
who
how
in the
much
last two free agencies you wanted this team to go target at wide receiver to help you.
You saw the tweet we got. Someone said they should have signed Patrick Creighton or TJ Houshmandzadeh. I mean, literally.
Guys who have been out of the
league
years.
Now, if you want to say they should have thrown $50 million at Eric Decker and topped the Jets' bid.
At Decker or Mike Wallace 2 years ago. I mean, these are the guys you're talking about. Those are the difference makers at wide receiver and free agency.
The whole season last year, everyone talked about, man, did they blow it by paying Mike Wallace all that money. Okay, do they go cheap on Emmanuel Sanders? Maybe, but would Emmanuel Sanders have the impact here that he's having in Denver when he's got Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Wes Welker, and Peyton Manning throwing him the football?
And again, you go and get one of those guys and you put him on the field, all you're really doing is taking away from the other guys who need to get the reps. The guys who are obviously cornerstones of your building block. Your building blocks here.
Didn't we hear that about why are you playing Henny? Throw Bortles and you can't get learn on the bench.
Absolutely.
Doesn't that work with some of these other positions? You can learn something. Not everybody has to be thrown into the fire.
Aaron Rodgers is always a good example.
Right,
yeah.
But at the same time, if you're going to take that philosophy with the quarterback, well, take your lumps with Allen Robinson, who hasn't had many real lumps, really.
Two rookies on the offensive line. You know, you 3 second year guys
and
in Linder the secondary.
And has consistently graded out as a top lineman, with the maybe exception of this past game. He has been, if you voted right now, who's been the best offensive lineman on the team so far, it would be Brandon Linder. And, you know, he's a guy that they target. They said, hey, not only do we like him, we like it so much we're going to move up to get him.
Yep.
Because we feel that there's a drop off after this guy. We got to go get Brandon Linder. So I'm not saying it's perfect, and I get it. If you're ticked, you're frustrated, you're angry, whatever. You have the right to feel that way. Anything I say, I'm not trying to change how you feel. I'm just trying to, you know, if you're going to, like Tony said, if you're going to say they should have got somebody, come up with somebody better than Patrick freaking Creighton and TJ Hushmanzada, who are, I don't know if they could play in the rec league at this point.
And again, I'll be honest, they feel like maybe it changes at some point, but right now it's not changed. They feel like Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley are the right guys for this job, and anybody who sits in a room with Gus Bradley for more than, you know, 5 minutes will feel the same way, that he is the right guy. He's who you want leading this team in the right direction. And they're going to, I mean, listen, it's going to turn. I'm telling you, it's going to turn because they've got the quarterback, the pieces around them. They're, you know, they haven't been horrible picks. They haven't whiffed on anybody. Say what you want about Luke Jokel, but go to that draft and find me another guy in the top 10 who would have been significantly better. You know, whatever. But, it's going to turn. I really do believe that. And, you know, people calling for questioning Gus Bradley now, that's just ridiculous at this point.
Well, and look, a couple more from Duval Doom here. Why throw Cecil's fumble out? They didn't throw it out during the game. The point being that, yeah, that stinks. Show me a receiver who's never fumbled the ball. You know, I'm not saying right. It's good. It's a bad play. You've got to protect the ball in that situation.
Sure.
But he made an impact on that football game with 10 catches for over 100 yards.
That was my point.
Yes, and I get that. And I'm sure if we sat here and started going through box scores, we could take all pro receivers that have had costly fumbles that cost our team the game. DeMarco Murray spent the first month of the season fumbling every game.
Right.
He balanced it out with good performances, and his team won. I get that. And the other one said beating Charlie Whitehurst was not an unrealistic expectation, guys. They held Tennessee's offense to 16 points. People act like Charlie Whitehurst had this big game. He had 233 yards and no touchdowns.
Right.
Look what he did the week before.
Right.
Against a team that's coming in to play you this week. When you hold a team to 16 points, you should win almost every time in today's NFL, the way it's set up the score. So Charlie Whitehurst, to me, did not beat him. He happened to be the quarterback of that team.
Right.
He wasn't playing by himself.
Win, but yeah.
Right.
But so, he wasn't the problem.
All right. 641-1010 if you want to get in. Dr. Stephen Lucy from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute will pop in for your weekly injury report. Give away a pair of tickets as well to go see the Jags and Cleveland play, and maybe a few more of your phone calls if we have time to get them in under the wire. It's 641-1010. Metro Rooter Wednesday here continues on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Mike Dempsey with your JTech Drive of the Game. The Jaguars trailed the Titans 16-7 with 2:43 remaining when Blake Bortles and the offense went to work from their own 17-yard line. 8 plays later, Jacksonville faced a key 3rd-and-15 from the Tennessee 20, needing to get the ball in the end zone.
3rd down now and 16 to play, 43 seconds left. You can't take a sack here. You got to get the ball out. Fires to the middle of the field. That is caught by Clay Harbor. Touchdown, Jaguars! Harbor caught it, bounced off a defender, and has scored, and it's not over yet. 37 seconds to play, and the Jaguars are in the end zone.
The extra point made it a 2-point game, and the Jags would recover an onside kick, but Josh Scobie's 55-yarder for the win was blocked at the line of scrimmage, and Jacksonville fell 16-14.
All right, let's take a look around the league. The injury report, Dr. Stephen Lucy here with us, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. How you doing, Dr. Lucy?
Doing great. Good to be back.
You're doing better than Victor Cruz, I'm sure.
I hope so. I mean, I feel for my man Tom Coughlin. He seems like the injury bug gets him every year. But
Victor Cruz is an interesting case. I mean, he went from Pro Bowl, toast of the town. They wanted him on Dancing with the Stars because he did the salsa and all this stuff. To really, the passing game kind of fell off last year and just, you know, kind of just a guy this year for the most part, but goes up. Is that one of those things that it's just going to go? I mean, it didn't look like he did anything particularly violent to tear his patella tendon in his knee. Is that one of those that could be just it's going to go and it's coming and you really don't know until it goes, or am I crazy?
No, that's the way it usually is. Usually it's out of the blue. Some people will get what we call jumper's knee, a little patella tendonitis, where they get some partial tears, and then they may have had that for a year or so. It's a little weak, and then they finish it off. But as we've talked about, these guys are so strong and so explosive, and they generate such forces. That's the biggest tendon in your body. It's hard to believe how often it does tear in these NFL guys, and it's a devastating injury. You can't straighten out your knee. It's a very long rehab, in many ways a tougher rehab than even an ACL rehab. It requires some immobilization, very slow range of motion. And, you know, when you get a wide receiver with this, you're going to worry because, you know, a guy like that, he loses 2/10 off his 40, and he's no longer pro material.
Right.
So,
and his size particularly, his quickness and all that, and cutting in and out of breaks. What typical rehab time for a patella tendon? I mean, could beginning of next season, 12 months, maybe even longer? What do you?
No, I think, you know, you rarely get the 12 months because they never do it, or they only occasionally do it in preseason. But I think he'll be pretty close to being right to try to go next year. It's just going to be the question, as we said, can he make the cuts? Can he? Is he as explosive as you need to be a wide receiver in the NFL?
Dr. Stephen Lucy here with us in the Garber Auto Mall hot seat as we talk injuries around the National Football League. No Sean Moreno. The Dolphins claim, despite giving him 5 carries in the first half, 1 early in the second half, and they're not seeing him for the rest of the game. We had no idea he was hurt throughout the course of the game, and then they put him on injured reserve. I believe it was yesterday that he popped up on IR. Anyway, done for the year. Same ACL that he tore a few seasons ago. How much more difficult does that make his rehab and his return to the NFL?
It's a tougher deal. And, you know, interesting, they may not have known because you don't have the same nerve fibers in an ACL graft. So if that thing popped, you may not get the same level of pain that you did when you tore your original one. So there might be a little validity to that.
We've seen guys actually play. Dennis Dixon in college played with a torn ACL for a while until the knee finally just kind of blew up on him. Phillip Rivers played a playoff game with a torn ACL. Olandis Gary, I'll never forget, for the Denver Broncos, tore his ACL like at the end of the first half and played the entire second half and played well on it. Just aberrations, or how would you characterize
that? Yeah, I mean, some people have such strong supporting ligaments that even when the doctors examine them on the field, they can't tell they had an ACL until they get an MRI after the game. But some people are very dependent on it. As soon as they try to cut, it goes out on them. So they, you know, it varies from person to person. But back to Noshon, you're in a dilemma. The first time you like to use the player's own tendon because they heal a little faster. Once they tear it again, you're stuck with either going into the good knee and getting a patella tendon out of the good knee and then transferring it to the injured knee, or using one, a cadaver, an allograft. The allografts work good. They just have a slightly higher re-rupture rate. And I think you mentioned before we went on air about somebody that has 3. By the time you come into 3, then you're talking about whether they'll ever get back.
Yeah, Thomas Davis of the Carolina Panthers, former Georgia Bulldog, another, like Noshon, another Georgia Bulldog. They grow the ACLs weak up there in Athens, apparently. But the guy's torn it 3 times, and he's playing pretty well the last couple of seasons, which is stunning. And then you got Alex Mack coming in, the Jags. Certainly, they signed him. They just got matched, so they did everything they could to get Alex Mack here in a Jaguar uniform. Big part of that offensive line, clearly maybe the best center in the league. He broke his fibula, and I would assume that once that heals, he can return just as good as ever.
Yeah, usually those come back and do great. I noticed that they have him out for the rest of the year, so this is probably something that may require some surgery. I assume it's down by the ankle, but I hadn't heard for sure. But you get these 300-pounders falling into each other, not a lot of good things happen. And, you know, these broken legs and ankle injuries, sometimes they aren't as dramatic as some of these basketball injuries. These guys are just in a big pile and a 300-pound lines on your leg and something snaps.
All right, Dr. Stephen Lucy with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, as we said, one of 31 physicians at JOI, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, good to see you. You look very dapper today, by the way. Don't you think so, Mark?
Absolutely.
I like that ensemble there.
He's got a little pink going.
A little pink in the tie.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Absolutely, man. You look very sharp, Doc.
Maybe we're getting ready for TV down here.
I see. He looks at me in my cargo shorts and T-shirt. So you don't make the cut. All right, Dr. Lucy, good to talk to you, buddy.
All right,
see you later in the Garber Auto Mall hot seat. Dr. Stephen Lucy with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. All right, let's get a couple calls in here, and then we'll give away a pair of tickets to go see Jacksonville and Cleveland on Sunday. Moats, I believe, is up next year on 1010XL. What's up, Moats?
Not Not much, man. Hanging in there. Just got off work. I want to make a couple comments about the running game. Everyone's kind of down on us and getting on this running game. I don't understand what everybody expects. You know, you got a career second string running back. Granted, he was, you know, behind Adrian Peterson, who's the best running back in the league, arguably. You know, you got Jordan Todman, which I don't know where he came from, but I don't think anyone around the league thought he was a starter. You got a former quarterback, and then you got, what was Storm Johnson, a sixth or a seventh rounder?
Seventh rounder.
Seventh. What was Arian Foster?
Undrafted.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I mean, running backs come from everywhere, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Ben Tate was a former backup, and he seems to be doing quite well for himself in Cleveland, right? I mean, he had very similar profile, big yards per carry like Toby Gerhart playing behind Arian Foster when he came in, when defenses were, you know, mostly softened up. Now he had a few starts there mixed in as well, but I mean, we've seen plenty of. But I'm not saying that they have that elite runner, Motes. Don't get me wrong. They don't have, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime, but I think the holes, Mark, as we discussed, are a much bigger issue.
Yeah, they're not there. So you got, it's on the line. And for whatever reason, you know, they're young, they're inexperienced, they haven't played together, they haven't played as a unit. There's a lot of factors here that go into this, and they're just not getting it done. Will they get there? You hope so, but you just don't. There's no timetable for when this thing turns and when they're going to start opening up, you know, holes in this zone scheme. You just don't know. I don't know. But I do say this, and I've said this before. Toby Gerhart's been really slow getting to the line of scrimmage, and that's problematic.
No question.
That's problematic when you're trying to run that zone scheme, that one cut scheme. You know, you go wide and then cut it back. You know, that's been a problem. So they're trying to get other guys in there who might be a little quicker to the line, a little quicker to the hole before the hole closes up. So that's why you're seeing more Storm Johnson. You're seeing more Denard Robinson. You're even seeing more Jordan Todman. But again, none of those guys is your, what they see as their long-term answer at running back.
Right. Let's say they'd signed Ben Tate, right? Who was seen as kind of the prize of the free agent market. Okay. Would you expect he'd be doing much better?
No, I don't. I don't know. There aren't too many running backs in this league. I mean, who would be doing a lot better? You look at what LeSean McCoy's doing. You think they've just figured out LeSean McCoy? I mean, I think a lot of it, he had a breakout game this week, but his struggles early in the season were because the line just wasn't opening up holes for him, the same holes that he's been used to running through. So it's all, when your running game's not working, 99% of that is on the line.
You know, Rashad Jennings is off to a very nice start in New York before he got hurt. If you had signed him and he came in and he's doing what this offense is doing, you'd say, of course! Are you kidding me? He didn't get it done when he's here the first time. Yeah. How stupid
Why would you bring him
is
back?
This management to sign this guy? I mean, you know, if it doesn't work, you get the right to critique, but we're just trying to, I'm not saying Toby Gerhart, like you said, not quick to the line. Is he hurt? Well, he is, but that's too bad. You know, I mean, people want production, and it's big boy football, and we get it, and I wish Toby was healthy, but if he were, I don't know if it would be much better right
And again, now. If you had one rookie on the line, you could maybe mask it a little bit better, run the opposite way. But in this case, they've got essentially three rookies on the line, with Jokel playing so little last year, and even Pastor is a second year guy, so they just don't have a lot of experience.
How many games has Pastor started in the NFL? Has he started 16 games in the NFL? I don't think so. Has he?
Well, he started last year, right? After he was starting right tackle last year.
Yeah, but not the whole season.
No, I don't think he has 16.
Right,
and he
didn't
certainly 13.
Right. So, I mean, but the other side of that coin is that's what they chose to go with. That's,
right.
And I think that's a legitimate question. But if you're forget for the moment how it got put together. If you're looking at what they have at the moment, which is all you can deal with this second, they're not getting it done up front.
No, and I don't know. I don't know when they're going to start getting it done. I don't know if it's going to change this week or next week or the week after. I just don't know. You hope that it flips at some point and they get it all, you know, everything kind of comes together and they start moving in the right direction. But you just don't know when, you know.
Hey, we said
what if it doesn't happen?
Well, you said it last week, Tony. Everyone's so excited about Storm Johnson, had four good carries. And
yeah,
I mean, it was such a small sample size. And that just was more of a product of a running game that had shown you nothing, that you were just hoping that the guy you hadn't seen much from yet could be the answer to it. And maybe he will be going forward. I hope Storm Johnson, you know, has a long and productive career here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like it's almost a broken record, but the fans can blame Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley for the decisions they've made with this roster all they want. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that you don't like the way that they've built the team. The fact that those are the options in the running game, that's the choice that this organization made. The fact that there are all these young receivers with Cecil Shorts out there on the field, that's a decision this team made. And that's why when you talk about, well, what happens if they go 0-16, that's also why I feel like I still think both these guys are going to be around, because they made that decision together with the owner. This is what we're going to put on the field. The fans can be as upset with it as they want to be, and they have every right to be mad about the product they've seen on the field at this point. But it's also why I don't think it's going to change the rest of this season or going into next year, because this is the bed they've made for themselves. And we'll know a lot more about the direction of this team when we get to late November and December. Have these guys grown up? What does this product look like at the end of the year? That's a big measuring stick for this team right now.
All right, we got to run. I thought he was going to say Cecil Short sells seashells by the seashore for a second there, but he didn't. It could be a tough one. 515 by The Who, favorite song. Got one in early. I don't think anybody else has replicated that, so I'll have to look back and see who that was. Got me very early in the process. Dr. G at Dr_G26, we will hook you up with a pair of tickets to go see the Jags and the Cleveland Browns this week off the Quadrophenia album. You have
track
an album,
one,
right?
What do you like about that?
Track one side two. Well, I just love the song. I don't know.
What about it though?
The sound of it. It's a cool story. It's just, I don't even know what the hell it means half the time. It's just, I like the sound of the song. It's a great tune. I love pretty much anything that The Who has done, with the exception of Itsy Bitsy Spider, which Duval Doom guessed, and Boris the Spider. Same difference. It's horrible. It's like, hey, let's throw John Entwistle a bone here.
Boris the Spider.
It's terrible.